from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Friday, July 15th. Coming up, Illinois has a chance to make amends for racial discrimination in marijuana arrests when it hands out 200 new recreational cannabis licenses. We'll learn more from Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Many doctors from Planned Parenthood in Wisconsin are now working out of a health center across the Illinois border. That comes as Wisconsin has banned nearly all abortions. Kristen Schorsch reports.
To preserve abortion access for Wisconsin residents, Planned Parenthood organizations in both states announced a new partnership today. Wisconsin providers are now licensed to practice in Illinois. They're working at Planned Parenthood of Illinois' clinic in Waukegan. The move could be a model for providers in other states where abortion is restricted. Jennifer Welch runs Planned Parenthood of Illinois.
We do anticipate that Planned Parenthood of Illinois will be an increasing haven for care all over the Midwest, and we expect that we'll be working with colleagues in many other states.
In a statement, the anti-abortion group Illinois Right to Life called the partnership tragic. I'm Kristen Schorsch.
In the aftermath of the Highland Park mass shooting over the 4th of July weekend, Illinois politicians are sparring over gun legislation. In Illinois, residents are required to obtain a firearm owner's identification card before buying a gun. U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth is calling for the FOID card to be expanded nationwide. Duckworth tells the 21st talk show that it's the least her colleagues can do.
Not doing anything is not something that should be an option that's on the table. And I heard that loud and clear from the parents from Highland Park and Uvalde yesterday. They're like, do something, do more.
Meanwhile, GOP gubernatorial nominee is campaigning against FOID cards. In a statement, Bailey says, quote, the FOID card serves no purpose other than to stand between honest and law-abiding Illinoisans and their constitutional rights, end quote. If your bicycle is parked at a University of Illinois bike rack, make sure to remove any bright orange stickers attached to it. These tags are part of the University of Illinois' summer campus bike cleanup. Illinois Newsroom's Sydney Wood has more.
Sarthik Prasad is in charge of the Bike at Illinois program. Prasad says the parking department will remove the tagged bikes from campus starting this week. By next Friday, the bikes will be moved to the campus round barns where they'll be inventoried. Prasad says this is the first campus bike cleanup in 2 years.
In May 2020, it was the peak COVID time, so we didn't do it then because students had to leave abruptly. So we didn't do it in 2020, and same with 2021. Students were not back, so we did not remove bicycles in 2021 either.
Prasad says students will have until the second week of September to claim their bikes from the university. After the September cutoff, any unclaimed bikes will be donated to the Bike Project of Champaign. I'm Sydney Wood, Illinois Newsroom.
Still to come, we'll take a closer look at how the state of Illinois is giving out 200 new recreational cannabis licenses. That story from Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes is next on 217 Today.
On June 19, 1982, Vincent Chin, a Chinese-American, was murdered by white men in Detroit. The resulting trial transformed the local Asian-American community and jump-started a national movement. To commemorate the 40th anniversary of the tragedy, POV is re-releasing Who Killed Vincent Chin, the groundbreaking documentary about the murder and its repercussions. The film details the initial eyewitness accounts, the ensuing trials, the ramifications for the families, and the aftermath. Learn how you can watch at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. As Illinois hands out nearly 200 new recreational cannabis licenses, the state has the chance to uphold its promise to diversify the industry. As Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes reports, some pursuing licenses are still waiting for their chance.
You came, like, right before harvest.
Lisa Palmgren had hoped to co-own one of the new cannabis shops.
If anything, it's been increased hardships. Trying to pursue it legally.
There's a heavy, grassy smell in Palmgren's basement in Peoria, where she legally grows cannabis for her own medical use. Some of the plants are coated in a white dust, a sign that they are almost ripe, Palmgren says. She started growing cannabis to manage her migraines before Illinois legalized medical marijuana, and she faced harsh consequences in 2011. One of her children opened the door to a plainclothes police officer. After the officer found her cannabis plants, her husband served time in jail on repeat possession charges. Their children were separated from them by the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services. Palmgren says she's grateful DCFS placed her children at her parents' house.
They got to go someplace that was comfortable to them. But it also still, you know, tore us apart. This was an empty house. Sorry, it's hard to talk about sometimes.
When the Illinois General Assembly voted to legalize recreational cannabis in 2019, legislators limited licenses to existing medical marijuana businesses and a new category of businesses called social equity applicants. To qualify, a business has to be majority owned by people who have been arrested on marijuana charges, whose family member was arrested, or who live in an area disproportionately impacted by such arrests. Palmgren's experience qualifies her for a social equity license, but she's had trouble getting one. A local physician offered her a spot on his dispensary application team, but the deal fell through.
Essentially, like 2 weeks before the application was going in, and at that point, we couldn't scramble fast enough.
Democrat LaShawn Ford represents Chicago's District 8 in the Illinois House of Representatives. He says legislators want to repair harm caused by earlier laws against marijuana.
It was a failed war on drugs. Too many black people were locked up.
While there isn't a race component to the social equity application, African Americans have been disproportionately incarcerated for drug crimes. According to the ACLU, before legalization, a black Illinoisan was over 7 times as likely to be arrested for marijuana possession as a white person, despite similar consumption habits. Meanwhile, 92% of the dispensaries operating in Illinois are owned by white people, according to the state.
The intent of the law was to make sure that people that were hardest hit by the war on drugs had the opportunity to be in the business, and that the communities that were hardest hit were able to use the revenue to rebuild the communities.
Some of the people running social equity businesses are the same white men who ran the industry before. The law just requires a different ownership structure now.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Would you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Brad Zerman. I'm the CEO of Seven Point.
Seven Point will be Danville's first social equity pot shop. Zerman is a longtime entrepreneur from the Detroit suburbs. He's run ATM and payment processing businesses since the early 1990s. He pivoted to the medical marijuana industry in 2014 and set up a shop in Oak Park in the Chicago suburbs. He could have been grandfathered into a recreational license, but instead he sold that business and applied for a social equity license for Seven Point.
So who owns besides you? Or are you one of the ones who qualify?
I'm not. So we have, I think there's 7 social equity partners that make up the 51%.
Vanessa Dotson is one of those partners.
I love the things that marijuana does for people. I'm an advocate of it. I feel like if you can have a cocktail, you can have a smoke, whatever makes you feel better. And it has a lot of good health reasons. So I want it all in.
She managed the restaurant next to Zerman's Oak Park dispensary, and they eventually became friends. When he started Seven Point, he asked Dotson to join.
Kind of opened the door for me for that one. Definitely don't think I would have any other time. It's kind of hard getting your foot in that door.
At the time, the application for a license was complicated and expensive. Applicants had to pay $2,500 up front, provide pages of documents, and there was no guarantee of being approved. I asked Zerman, who is white, whether businesses like his do what lawmakers intended. Does this kind of co-ownership help African-American communities recover from disproportionate marijuana arrests?
We're going to make a lot of people from disadvantaged areas, including a lot of minorities, millionaires. That's seemingly the goal, right? So, like, to me, that's like my job.
Lawsuits from applicants who didn't win a license have held up the entire social equity process for the last 2 years. The litigants settled the case in May, and the state's first social equity dispensaries could start operating this year. Zerman expects to break ground on Seven Point in the spring. In response to public pressure, the state has also simplified the dispensary applications to make it easier for people like Dotson and Palmgren to stand up businesses on their own. The application is now a simple online form with a $250 fee. Back in Peoria, Lisa Palmgren is still trying to get into the industry. She applied for a license to grow cannabis commercially, but was told she didn't end up qualifying for the lottery.
I'm kind of speculating here, but I think it had to do with having like health benefits in place, 401k, and like all of these things you were going to offer your employees. And we definitely couldn't commit to something like that. We feel as though if that's the reason that we lost the points, that it was a barrier to entry.
She's now filed a lawsuit in order to appeal the decision and find out what was missing in her application to grow cannabis. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
This feature was produced with assistance from the Public Media Journalists Association Editor Corps, funded by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it will be partly cloudy today with a chance of showers and thunderstorms and a high of 82 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Kristen Schorsch, Harrison Malkin, Sydney Wood, and Emily Hayes. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moldine. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend.